In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest is Mike Boyce, longtime drummer for Rochester, New York's Chesterfield Kings. Started playing with those guys back in the 1990s. The band has got our recent coolest song in the world, We're Still All the Same, out now as a digital single on Wicked Cool Records, and it also serves as a title track to their new album due out Friday, October the 11th. We'll hear a portion of the tune now, followed by my chat with Mike on your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. And joining me for our coolest conversations today is Mike Boyce. He's the drummer in Rochester, New York's the Chesterfield Kings. And he's been slapping the traps with those guys since the late 1990s. The band's latest single is We're Still All the Same, and it's a title track to their upcoming album due out on Friday, October the 11th on Wicked Cool Records. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm great, Manfred. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well and happy to have you here with me. We got to chat a little bit. When was that? It was a few weeks back, earlier this year. It was like after South by Southwest, you guys were playing some shows in sort of a Wicked Cool Caravan of Stars. Was that it when you were out here in L.A.?
Yeah, it was great. Out in L.A., I remember it well. Great venue, great burger downstairs. Yeah, it was a good time. Great conversation with you.
It wasn't the coolest conversation, though, was it? Because we're having that now.
Absolutely, yep. It was a precursor to the coolest conversation right now.
Right. Well, you guys, when you were in L.A., you played to the Lodge Room. So the burger place downstairs, I think I've eaten there before. Do you recall it? Do you remember the name?
Hamburger. That was it. It was hamburger, literally hamburger.
Really?
I looked it up and I said, okay, that makes sense.
Well, very cool. Well, so that was like the tail end of, I think maybe you had another show in like Las Vegas and then San Francisco after that.
Yep. We did Vegas and then off to San Francisco and then we all flew home back to Rochester. Yep.
In fact, thinking about Rochester, so are you a native of there? Or where did you grow up?
I am. Yeah, I'm a native of Rochester. Been here all my life. A little stint down in Texas with my dad, but for the most part, Rochester.
Rochester. And so you're, do you have any siblings?
I do. I have one sister.
Is she older or younger?
I have an older sister. My mom still is here. Like I said, my dad's down in Texas. I have a stepbrother and a stepsister down there, and a stepmom. Small, close family here.
Well, when you were growing up, did your mom play music or was your father play? Did he play music? Was there something like that?
No, my mom did not play music. My dad didn't play music. My mom was, you know, very supportive. And whatever we wanted to do, whatever we wanted to try, you know, I mean, really, I got into music. It was actually the Chesterfield Kings that got me into music. When I was about 7 or 8, my mom worked with Doug Meach, the original drummer and co-founder of the Chesterfield Kings, at a mental hospital here in Rochester. She was a nurse's aide, and Doug worked in the morgue. And it was kind of cool. They became really good, close friends. And Doug would come over, and Doug would hang out, and, you know, some family functions with us. And, you know, on paydays, I remember my mom, you know, in the summer would take us down to the hospital, and we'd go down in the morgue and visit Doug. And he'd show us some, you know, some cool body scraps and bones. And
man, I'll tell you what. So you were like, you said that, was this, you were 7 or 8? What was that it? When you first met?
This is back in the late 70s.
Late 70s. Yeah. 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 So that must have been a hell of a show and tell later on, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we used to call Doug Quincy because he was kind of like, you know, Jack Klugman in the old Quincy show down in the morgue. And, when I was a kid, I used to go and watch the Kings practice and at an old church in Rochester. Used to sneak into some of the clubs to get to see them play. And, you know, and Doug got me my first, helped me get my first kit and my first set of sticks. And I still have those today.
Wow. So, yeah, I was going to ask. So, and you mentioned your mom being very supportive. So, was that some of the subject you broached yourself? Like, gee, I'd really like to, mom, I'd really like to play the drums. Or you mentioned it to him or how did that process get started? Because he supplied you with the drums, but he saw that you had an interest in it, or you voiced that to him, or?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the minute he took me to watch the band practice, this was before the first singles even came out. I got the bug, and I actually wanted to play guitar. And it was funny because Andy Babiuk from the Chesterfield Kings, when I was younger, he said, so I wanted to play guitar. He said, you want to play guitar? I said, yeah. So he handed me a guitar and he said, are you left-handed? And I said, no, I'm right-handed. And so he flipped the guitar over because I was holding it left-handed. And I thought that was strange because when I would look in the mirror as a kid, you know, air guitar and on the tennis racket, it always looked different in the mirror. I said, oh, I got to flip that over. And, you know, so Andy said, play a few chords. And that's when Doug said, maybe the drums are good for you. And I said, maybe you're right, Doug. So I ended up with the drums.
So you ended up with the drums. And so how old were you when you first started pounding on the drums?
I was probably about 13, 14, junior high school.
Did you play with any other local bands or did you graduate straight into the Kings?
You know, another crazy story, Manfred, you know, small world, small town, Rochester. The two brothers, Ted and Jeff Okolowitz, who are in the Kings, were high school friends of mine. And they always had the best cracking band in high school and, you know, shortly after. And I used to help those guys out a lot and hang out with those guys. And I would, you know, pick up a few, jam sessions with a few people. And I had my first band and we were playing and I was in my early 20s when we were really trying to get serious and play some clubs. And that's when, shortly after that, the boys had joined the Chesterfield Kings and their drummer left. And they called me and said, hey, we're playing with the Kings now. And we wondered if you'd be interested in auditioning. And of course, you know, Greg and Andy said, well, we know Mike. And so I went down and auditioned and the rest is history, Manfred. Just been a great ride.
Wow. Well, okay. So what is I was trying to figure out what the first release you played on. And let's see if I'm right here. So there was this, like in 1997, a Trippin' Out 10-inch came out, Trippin' Out, like a 10-inch, some
yep.
I think maybe covers. And then also the Surf and Rampage albums around that same era. Are those the first things you played on or what are the first things?
So the first recording I did with the Kings was sometime at night with Sal Valentino. Sal was in town, and we approached him at his hotel and said, you know, if you have time, can you come down to studio? And we'd like to record sometime at night. And he was super gracious, super talented. It was one of the best experiences I've had since I've been in the band. And we laid down sometime at night, and it's one of my favorites to this day. I also, and around that same time, I had jumped into the band while they were recording the Surf and Rampage album, and I helped them finish that up. So those are my first recordings with the band.
Wow. And we'll mention it, the Surf and Rampage album is like a first surf music record. And prior to that, you guys primarily known as being like a 60s garage rock thing. So that's, you know, it's all, to me, it's all rock and roll, but that's, I think it was a pretty cool a project to take on. So I'm not aware of this. I was going through the discographies, and I wasn't aware that you guys had done this. And I'm thinking that you play on this. So let me know. It's like in 98, there was a split 7-inch that came out, and it's like the Liars covering a Chesterfield King song, She Told Me Lies. On the other side is the Chesterfield Kings doing Help You Ann. Did you play on those? Or did you play on that version of Help You Ann?
I did. And it was a thrill because, you know, Paul Murphy's, I think, one is definitely an inspiration. He's a drummer for the Liars at the time, you know, Pounder, you know, Manfred, you know, those guys are top quality live act and recording act. And I did play on that, and that was a pleasure too. I love that song.
So you played on the recording. Did you do any gigs around that era with the Liars?
Yeah. So when the Cave Stomps, I don't know if you recall the Cave Stomps and the Vipers and, you know, Fuzz Tones back then, Liars. Those were great, great shows. We were fortunate to get play in the first couple. We played with Mark Lindsay. Those were great times at Coney Island High, Joey Ramone's old place. Yeah, right, 97, 98, I think those were.
Yeah. If we did at least one of those, maybe two.
Okay.
Of those. So, you know, important part of the band's music direction stems from the 60s garage rock stuff. And you were seeing the band, you know, early on even. But is that was something that you were kind of into yourself before you joined? Or was that just something more that the Kings kind of represented that sound to you?
You know, yeah, the music I was into, you know, since I was a kid, you know, okay, so we'll go back to my mom. My mom has always had a great record collection. You know, we've always had, you know, so, you know, I grew up listening to a lot of Rod Stewart, you know, then got into the Faces, a lot of the, you know, Led Zeppelins were playing in my house, you know, with an older sister. And, you know, so that's what I was definitely listening to for sure. Like a San Francisco sound too, you know, I liked a lot of the, you know, mid 60s stuff that was happening.
Well, you know, so the band was on hiatus for about 15 years. So what were you doing during that period of time? Were you playing with other bands?
So, no, I wasn't. So it worked out well for as far as a family standpoint, because my daughter, I have an 18-year-old daughter. And, you know, so that was kind of, you know, that took, you know, all of my attention, and which was awesome. And she's fabulous. And then I did open a restaurant. So I had a restaurant for about 5 years that we just closed the restaurant down here in the beautiful Finger Lakes of New York. And, you know, we said, you guys, we're ready to rock, you know, and the bat signal went up and I said, let's go, you know, answered the call.
Yeah. You said you saw the bat signal going up. So when you got the call from Andy, he said, would you like? And before he could even get the question out, you said, yeah, my bags are packed. Let's go.
About time. Right. Absolutely.
Your restaurant. Tell me about the restaurant. Cause what was the menu like? What were you serving there?
So the restaurant, it was Salt of the Earth. We were located on Cayuga Lake, over, you know, I think one of the largest salt mines in North America. And it was a, you know, French American bistro. it was, you know, it was fine dining. We opened up the day the pandemic shut everyone down, and we kind of, you know, struggled and, you know, and, you know, plowed our way through, and had a really nice, successful run. You know, and, you know, we went out on top. I like to say we left it at that. So it's, I miss it, but, you know, I tell you, when we hit the stage at South by Southwest, it, you know, it made me forget about things, you know? So, you know, I'm glad to be rocking again.
Well, let's talk some about this coolest song in the world this week. It's We're Still All the Same, title track to the upcoming album. Mentioned, well, it's due out on Friday, October the 11th on Wicked Cool Records. Definitely the song has got a positive message behind it. Is this something that, like, did Andy present this initially as a demo to the band? Or how did, what's the process with you guys when you're working up a song?
Yeah, so Andy brought that down. He already had, you know, he had the lyrics were in front of the music, right? So he came down, you know, he had a few chords, but he definitely had the message, you know, that he wanted to put down and, you know, just, you know, lay some music to. And so that's how that song in particular came about.
And did he give you any idea where what inspired his inspired the lyrics for example?
Yeah, you know, that, you know, it was that, you know, that that social rage that's kind of happening. You know, he kind of, you know, wanted to send out a message, you know, that hey, you know, despite everything that's happening, and, you know, it's good to fight your fight and have your passions, but at the end of the day, you know, there's no room for the hate, and, you know, the, you know, we're still all the same, man.
Right. So where did you guys record this one?
So this was done at, the Fab Gear Studios. That's actually a space that, we've been recording in for, geez, 30 years.
Oh, right. And when you said Fab Gear, so that's attached to or part of the same building as Andy's shop, or is this a different location?
Yeah, it's a few blocks away. It's a separate location, a few blocks away. Yeah.
Right. So you got to carry that. All those great guitars have to go down the street then. They just can't go from one room to the next, I guess.
Manfred, Andy has enough guitars to fill up that room, that studio, this house, your house, his shop. We had plenty of gear, and all the best gear too.
So, who produced the basic tracks when you went in to record? Because, you know, there's like Ed Stasium is listed as being a producer, and I think Steven is listed as being a producer, little Steven. Steve Van Zandt, Andy as well. I mean, it's who was actually working there with the basic tracks? Was that Andy, yourselves?
So that was, you know, so Ed Stasium was here. You know, we came up with, you know, all of the, so I guess you said the basic tracks, you know, we had an idea of what we wanted the song to sound like musically. You know, Andy had great lyrics. I think he even, you know, consulted with Steven. Little Steven on a couple of lines in that song. You know, in the end, you know, there was no compromise. Andy knew what he was looking for. And then Ed just came in and said, hey, how about this? How about that? Ed is brilliant at, you know, he spent about 2.5 weeks with us, and he is brilliant at, you know, getting to know us, getting to understand, you know, our performance levels and, you know, what we like to do. And he could, you know, step in to, you know, out of the control room and say, let's try this, let's try that. You know, it was super pro, and Ed's just got a great ear and a great sense of the band, because he's been familiar with us for many years.
So was he present there for all the basic tracks for all the songs that are on the album?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yep.
All right. Yeah, we're very cool. We said, again, we mentioned that's coming out on the 11th. When is your next gig? When are you playing again?
Okay. So record comes out on October 11th, and then October 25th at the Bowery Electric, we are going to have a blowout record release party. We're playing with the Grip Weeds, the Jelly Bricks, and we're looking forward to getting back to NYC real soon.
Oh, that's great. And so how about this? How about the cruise? You ready to set sail on the high seas next year, that next May?
Ahoy, Captain. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. You'll be there, Manfred.
Yes, I will. I will be there. And when I see you, Mike, I'll say, hello, matey, or ahoy, matey. So that's what we do on ships, right?
But we do.
Can I have my little cabana? I'm going to have my cabana boy outfit. It'll be great.
I love it. I love it. Yes, a little Gilligan hat I'll have, and we'll set sail.
Well, I mean, I can sport a Gilligan hat too. I look pretty good in a Gilligan hat. Yeah, you know, and we're probably lucky or at least I am for my age to have a build like that, I guess, you know.
Absolutely.
But yeah. Yeah. Sailing high seas. All right. So now we're going to take a listen to Fly the Astral Plane, but I want to talk about that. That was this was like a proper 7-inch single. It came out the end of June on Wicked Cool. The A-side again, Fly the Astral Plane, is backed with your version of The Who's So Sad About Us. So Andy wrote the A-side. It's got this cool sort of 5 years ahead of my time vibe to it. Do you recall how that song came together?
Yeah, I sure do. So, you know, like you said, you know, 5 years ahead of my time, that's been in our set list for forever. It's one of our favorites. And, you know, it's a rocker. It's a crowd pleaser. You know, it just kind of, you know, felt natural, when, you know, Andy had, you know, was playing the chord progression of that. It kind of just fit. And, you know, we all kind of looked at each other with a wink and said, let's do it, you know, just verbatim. Let's just do it, because, you know, it's good. It's good.
It's good. It's the best. Well, Mike, thank you so much for speaking with me on our Coolest Conversations.
Oh, thanks for having me, Manfred. This has been great.
Yeah. We're going to give Fly the Astral Plane a spin now. It's the Chesterfield Kings and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Selma, Fly the Astral Plane. That's the Chesterfield Kings here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. That tune is a recent single out on Wicked Cool Records. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's drummer, Mike Boyce, for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast, and Kurt Baker for editing. Boston's legendary Nervous Eaters. They've got a new album out now on Wicked Cool. It's called Rock and Roll Your Heart Away. And their guitarist, Adam Sherman, will join us next time around to tell us all about it. It's your next Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.